Hallelujah. Father, we ask today that you grant to us insight in your word as we study the subject of faith and healing. Thank you for inspiration, information, and revelation. All eyes will behold you as our healer and our bodies healed in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Exodus 15, 26. Praise God. Alright. He says, I will put none of this as a B part, which I brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee, or I the Lord that healeth thee. In Psalm 103 and verse 2. It said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all thine iniquities, who heals all thine diseases. So the word benefit there has to do with something that you're given as a reward. Imagine God rewarding us for doing nothing. Just like the gift of righteousness. He gives us healing, and then the same way. Now, go back to that Exodus 15. I want to show us something that is important. You know, Exodus 15 says, I will put none of these diseases upon thee. Now, you know, at this material point in time, if you observe, the law was yet to be given when he made this statement. The law was yet to be given at this point. The law wasn't given here. When he says, I will put none of these diseases upon you. The law was given between Exodus 19 and 20. But now the law wasn't given here. What he gave them was statutes. Things to just remember and have a good memory. A good mindset about his goodness and his mercies. Now, pay good attention to something here. And I want you to see it. In Exodus 6, you know, in Exodus 3:14, he had called Moses. And he told Moses that I am that I am. Which in the Hebrew is the word Yahweh, where you have Yahweh, but it's Yahweh in the Hebrew, where some folks have come with Jehovah, but you know, I don't think it's much of some pugilism over words. I think it's just the most important thing is what it means. He says, I will be what I will be. In other words, God speaking from that point of view that I will be your Savior. I told you that what I am that I am is a word that reveals God's eternal plan of salvation. But that's not our subject today. Now look at Exodus chapter 6 and verse 3. He says quickly, he says, and the Lord, verse 1 says, God spoke unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. In other words, I am Yahweh. I have appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by God Almighty, but by my name Jehovah was I not known. I told you that it didn't really mean that the word Jehovah was never mentioned before now. But you see, they didn't walk with that revelation. He told them, but they never walked with that revelation. Okay? The word Yahweh, first of all, comes up in the book of Genesis in chapter 2. I told you that before. Now, that said, notice he said, by my name I was not known. Then he begins to tell them, or tell Moses, what he is going to do. He said, in verse 6, I am the Lord, and I'll bring you out from the burdens of the Egyptians. I'll lead you out of their bondage. I'll redeem you with an outstretched hand, our great judgment. I'll take you to me for a people, and I'll be to you a God. You shall know me that I am the Lord your God, which brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. Four things he said he's going to do. But, you know, he said, I'll redeem you. Now, the word I will is an old Hebrew word that has to do with accomplish, a self-accomplishment. That is, there was no condition attached to what he said. That is, it's a self-accomplishment. Now, pay attention to this. He said, I will redeem you. Now, that word redeem, because that I am, now, when he says, I am Jehovah, which is Yahweh, he simply meant, I am for you. I am with you. In other words, I'm in the same camp with you. Like I'm on your side. That's the tone which he spoke to them. But notice in Exodus 15, 26, he said, I am the Lord, which is a tautology anyway. I am the Lord that healeth you. Now, he had told them the four things he's going to do. And one of the things he's going to do is to redeem. How's it redeem? Now, that word redeem is from an old Hebrew word, gale. G-A-A-L. Gal. It means to act 105 times. It means to act as a relative. Or used for next of kin. Somebody who is there for you. Okay? A relative, a next of kin. You know, that's what it means in this context. It isn't talking about a buyback of a slave, even though sometimes that it means that. But he's saying to them, he's saying, I will be your next of kin. In other words, they can get you if they cannot get me. That's another what he's telling them. So he says, I will redeem you with great judgment. And that word judgment is shepach in Hebrew, which means a sentence used by judges to bring justice into a matter. That is, I will grant justice in this case. I will grant justice. I am Jehovah. I will grant justice. So, in doing that, what does he tell them he's going to do? In being their kinsman, redemption, kinsman, redeemer, he's saying, I will ensure that no disease is upon you. Don't say no disease. I'll ensure no disease is upon you. In other words, in his redemption comes healing. I didn't say the healing is redemption. No. But in the redemption, or better still, when he acts on salvation, he brings healing with it. It brings healing with it. In other words, you cannot separate healing and God's plan of salvation. You cannot. You cannot separate healing and God's plan of redemption. You cannot. It's there with his plan. It's there with his purpose and provision. He provides for healing as he goes to save. So if I can see him as my Savior, one who has redeemed me from the bondage of the enemy, I must in the same tandem see him as my healer. He's in the same office for me. He is my healer. Praise God. Now, notice this again one more time. Look at Exodus 12. You know, before Exodus 15, we had Exodus 12 and 13, then in the middle of it's 14. And between 12 and 13 was what we call the Passover, where basically judgment for sin in that context of judgment was passed over. Why? Because they put blood on their lintels, they killed the Paschal lamb, and then they took of it. And what happens to them was that when the angel of death or, you know, whatever being that night passed through, it passed over all of them. There was no judgment for them. And you see, one of the things that came out of that is, you see, I did that to show you this, that I am the Lord that healed me. You read chapter 15 very well. I did that to let you know that I am the Lord that healed me. So, in the gift of righteousness, we see more than just us being qualified for healing, we see God providing for us healing in our body. So if I can believe him for my salvation and believe him for right standing, righteousness of justification, I must be able to have the same confidence, you know, in the fact that he is my healer. Matthew's Gospel 26:28, last week, Jesus said, this is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for the remission of sins for many. Now, that word for many is not quantity, like you can say many. Why not say for all? Well, many will mean this, very simple. You know, before now, the covenant was for the Jews. So when it says a new covenant for many, it means more than one nation. Do you understand that? It means the two nations. Many simply means several in the Greek, more than one. Is that clear? Not many people. But, you know, the old covenant, when the blood was done, the blood was for the Jews or anyone who identified with them. But it is the new covenant in my blood, shed for remission of sins for many. That is, in that context, talk about a nation, not people and persons. Is that okay? Is that okay? So, now, notice this, and this is important. In Matthew 8:17, of course, I've explained this to you, proper Bible interpretation, which is not a healing scripture, but a scripture that points to healing, but it's not a healing scripture. Now, it's a bit disturbing because the previous verse, he says, and when the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, had he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet himself, took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. That it might be fulfilled. Now what does that mean? Well, there's plerothe in the Greek, P-L-E-R-O-T-H-E. You know, and it isn't talking about, because the scripture that was quoted in 17, a bore, infirmities, duke, and sicknesses there, is a scripture for sin. And I've explained that to you. It's not a scripture for physical sickness, but for sin. But you see, what Matthew says is beautiful. He says, look, he healed the sick in his ministry to the point to let us see that this is the one who will take our sin away. So healing is a proof to us that God truly has justified us in the death of his son. Healing shows how merciful God is to let us see truly he took our sickness and disease, which in that context refers to sin and iniquity. So in the healing ministry of Jesus, we have a view to see clearly that this is God in the flesh. Because just like forgiveness of sins and redemption from it, there's no condition. Jesus puts no condition on anybody. Not one person. And so the same thing goes. We must see him in that light. Look at Luke 5. Luke 5. Praise God. I said, praise God. Luke 5. Yeah, Jesus. Pharisees can be very funny. Hey, you know. They are very crazy. Somebody, there's a woman in Luke's Gospel 11, or 13, pardon, who was bent over and sick. And they're particular about what day it was. Don't they need a doctor? Someone's been bent over all her life. And then she's healed. You say, well, why should you heal on the Sabbath day? You know, they're really crazy. You know, some folks are just like that. I don't think the churches now have become miracle centers. And I didn't see anything when he said that because he's a political commentator. So I waited for him till he started talking about the fact that people were dying of sicknesses. There's a need for doctors and health centers. I said, you're a very funny character. You just said those who get people healed free of charge are at fault, but those who are going to pay money, they should be allowed in the whole place. So what exactly is your problem? Your problem is that God heals the sick. Is that your problem? And no, but the church is not supposed to be for people to be going like hospital. I say, well, God is a doctor. Praise God. One of his names is doctor. Not true? So I don't know what your problem is. And nobody appointed him as doctor. You know, he didn't go to school. Wasn't trained, no certification. He's the only doctor that went to no university, no MBBS, no anatomy, physiology. Praise God. But just his word subsumes all the medical practice in this world. Praise God. They'll go for surgery and they'll give you drugs and they'll tell after six minutes you take this. I've been there before. When they'll take you at so and so period, you drink this. And you drink that. And I was drinking. This one. And they'll tell you the side effect. There's one like that. The minute I taste it, I drink it, I just become thirsty. I can almost drink urine. It was that bad. I'm wondering, kind of side effect. There's one again, when you take it, you just wake up at night, and you'll be sweating. They say, don't be under tension. It's just the normal. Normal. But no, he just says, be healed. Hallelujah. How about that? No side effect. And then you are healed. Glory to God. Someone told me one time we were together, it was a cousin's house, so we watched a miracle program. And then someone who was crippled began to walk, said, so fast. I looked at him, you better believe in miracles happening that fast. Because the day you're going to need miracles very fast, the miracle said, no, I'm not fast. He said, you don't believe me. Hallelujah. He just kept quiet because, you know, we all grew up in a Christian home, so we all pretend we're Christians. But God said, ah, it's true. Not that he believed it, but he had to say that. So it would look like an unbeliever, though he was. Praise God. Are you there? He'll do it like this. Praise the Lord. And that's it. Amen. You know, how do you like miracles? You don't like miracles, you're an atheist. No, that's all. Because I believe in miracles because I believe in God. Amen. Hallelujah. I think there are miracles as fast. Just like common sense. So, you know, folks can be very funny. Someone got healed, they got healed. Amen. Just like that. Just like that. Yeah, like that. He got sick just like that. Is that true? So he can get healed just like that. Praise the Lord. Amen. Alright, let's look at Luke 5. And then Jesus, the Bible says, I'm going to read verse 20. He saw their faith, right? And they brought someone through the ceiling. He saw their faith. The man, thy sins are forgiven thee. Please pay attention to this. And the entire of his fathers began to reason, verse 21, saying, who is this which speaketh blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone? An excuse to leave in unforgiveness, I think. Verse 22. But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said to them, what reason you have in your heart? Okay, then he says, whether it's easier to say that sins have been forgiven thee, or to say rise up and walk, that you may know. So when he said that, say what's easier? Praise God. What's easier? The word easier means it has to do with labor. In the Greek, it means you see in Luke 16:17 and Luke 18:25. Which one is easier? You know, which one requires less effort? Now, less effort on Jesus' part, right? To say, rise up and walk, or your sins are forgiven thee. Which one is easier? Praise the Lord. Which one requires less effort and less labor? In other words, which one doesn't require as much as the other? So that means they are not in the same category. Are you listening? Okay. Now, which one is it? Next verse, he says in verse 23-24, but that you may know that the Son of Man hath power, that's authority, upon earth to forgive sins. I say unto thee, that's a figure of speech, arise, take up your bed, couch, and go into thy house. So, which one was easier? Huh? The healing was easier. Praise God. So that you will know I have the authority for sickness and disease, for forgiveness of sins, I'm going to say, you know, take up your bed and walk. So, it took more labor to forgive sins than to heal the sick. So that means if I have faith in him that my sins are forgiven, it takes less, are you hearing me? Effort on his part, not on my part, to say sickness and disease are taken away right now. I'm healed in the name of Jesus. Praise God. I don't ever believe your sins are forgiven. Praise God. Are you sure you don't still ask for mercy at night? At 12 midnight. Mercy. Have mercy, Lord. You know that song? Your mercy is all winning. Oh, mercy, 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 mercy. We don't need his mercy. We have his mercy. Praise the Lord. And so, it's easier. So that means, if you could believe for salvation, this is easier for you to believe and receive. Is that true? Is that true? So look at Luke 13:16. Praise God. You know, we just read that in the Old Testament. If he can take you away from the bondage of the Egyptians, then he can easily keep sickness and disease away from you. Because in that sentence will come a benefit. The benefit is healing. You there? Look at this. Luke 13. Just some verses away. Verse 16. Remember that woman bound 18 years. And ought not this woman been a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound? Lo, this 18 years be loosed from this bond on the seventh day. Notice what it says, been a daughter of Abraham. Recall what he told the Syrophoenician woman. He said, healing is a children's bread. Referring to the children of Abraham. Healing is a children's bread. Why did he say that? Because he said he was sent to the lordship of the house of Israel. So, one of the ways he shows them the salvation plan is by healing. That's why when he sent us out to preach the gospel, he said, this sign shall follow them that believe. So you cannot successfully defend or a gospel that has no healing. It's a failure. It's a failure. Part and parcel of it. Why did he say, being a daughter of Abraham? Quickly look at Luke 19. Luke 19:9, when he went to the house of Zacchaeus, he said, today, a salvation come into your house for as much as into this house for as much as he is a son of Abraham. Luke 19:9. He's a son of Abraham. So you see the same way he's saying salvation is yours because you're a son of Abraham. He's saying healing is yours because you're a daughter of Abraham. So our Savior has an office called healing, healer. You need to know that office. Whenever, you know, try to get someone, you know, and he's always living with you for a while, and then you guys been together, and then you say, well, so come on, help me fix this iPad, a laptop. Can you, and the guy, or, no, let me say it very well. So the guy says, what's wrong with the iPad? I said, oh, it's not a problem. There's something wrong with this software and all. But I'm going to take you to somewhere. I said, let me see. Then in your mind, you think, just see and return it to me. And the guy says, this is, it's working now. I said, what do you do to it? So I fixed it. So how do you fix it? So, that's what I do. What do you mean that's what you do? I thought you were walking. So like, yeah, but one of my roles also to fix iPad. So, you know, that means you never recognized it. It's very possible that you have someone that all you see about him is the gift of righteousness. He forgave you your sins. And you rejoice in that all the time. But you fail to recognize he's as much a healer too. Whereas somebody will be out there who may not necessarily believe in the gift of righteousness, but sees him as a healer. Told you one meeting we're in one time. And this Muslim woman brought her daughter to the beach. Miracles Extraordinary, 1998. And I was ministering. And I said, place your hands on whoever you brought that was sick. And she brought someone, a daughter who was paralyzed. She's a Muslim. She was not a Christian. I don't know whether she's a Christian now. And then she lays hands on the daughter. She didn't have the healing anointing. And then the daughter begins to walk. She was so excited, she just came and brought land documents and gave it to me. She said, I don't want you to give it to the church. I want you to give it to you. 1998. You know, and I said, no.
We're not selling healing here.
She said, no. Praise God. So when one of the actions said, I told her, okay, you know what? We want you to accept Jesus. I'll talk about that later. That's accepting Jesus as my Lord. But Jesus has done this one. But then if you find others who have the gift of eternal life, you say, Jesus, you're healed. I said, amen. Amen. And then, but you know, he's as much your healer as your savior. Praise God. When I was more radical than I am now, if you ask me to feel some stuff like your nation, I'll put Zion in any form. Yeah, I'm a Christian now. There was a place to say, that's it. What religion? I said, none. Yes, but aren't you supposed to be a pastor? I said, I don't have a religion. So a Christian said, Christianity is not a religion. And I was arguing over that. Say, pastor, not the physician, I put Jesus. But you see, now I don't feel that in the forms. But that's what I believe. Praise God. I don't want anybody to reject my form. Okay, boy. But I believe that. What about you? I mean, I've never seen this case where you see an intern doctor, or better still, a student doctor, and he says, you need so surgery and all that. And then you now see one consultant, whatever. And he says, no, it's just a slight muscle pull there. You're okay. Then you just be like, you know about, what about seeing Jesus like that consultant general who has the last say? Praise God. And then you say, he has said, I am whole. Praise God. So, and then the student doctor says, but I think, shut up your mouth. Go and pass your MB. Hallelujah. Are you still there? He's your healer. Praise God. So, what was easier for him? Forgiveness of sins or healing? Yes, easier for him. So, imagine it took you more faith, as it were, to be saved than to be healed. How come you, when it comes to healing, because most of the time, I tell people, we are battling it's not the sickness really that you're up against, it's doubt. Doubt. Praise God. Doubt. People's testimonies. There was one person, there was one church, that's how they pray for one brother. He thought it was you, though, he died. You know when you hear that, you go, hey, are you believing God? You say, hey! You are not going to die. Praise the Lord. You're going to be healed. Amen. Say, glory to His name. I said, glory to His name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. A brother, he wrote me. That was early last year. He told me testimony of how he had been healed. He was believing God, pardon me. Then he will have this mental problem that when he does it, he just falls very healed. Then he's a doctor. He'll be out of job sometimes 6 months. He said he had an extra year in school because of that. He says, I'm fed up. I'm tired. I have prayed. I have fasted. I have done this. I have done that. What do I do next? I said, shut up. He says, sir. I said, shut up. He said, sir. I said, you are still talking. I said, shut up. And then he kept quiet. I said, nobody believes God and is ashamed. First of all, settle that in your... Start from the answer before the question. So we began to talk. I said, you know, I'm going to give you a material on faith. I said, don't ask me any questions again. He said, why, sir? I said, do you see Paul? You see Jesus to ask questions? He said, what do you do when they talk, when they write? You believe. Just believe anything that's in that material. So he said, okay, sir. He now ministers to the sick. Praise God. He doesn't use drugs again to leave. He said, he told me, if I stay off those drugs for 1 month, I'm going to go bonkers. He's been off the drugs for, I think about, this is February, maybe 9 to 10 months. And he's okay. Praise God. To hear me, he's never going to come back to you. And he told him, you're going to be like this for the rest of your life. Praise God. Mark Hankins told the story. And he told him, the wife had an inoperable brain tumor. And someone said, well, what are you going to do? He said, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I know what I'm not going to do. I'm not going to doubt, and I'm not going to fear. I like that statement. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I know what I'm not going to do. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Not going to doubt. So, she was in the hospital, and then they put it on the wall. No fear here. Don't come in here. No doubt allowed. Don't come and say, You know, some guys are professional mourners. Wow. And they'll put in a religious word like, it is well. They're trying to tell you you're dying. That it is well is one of the most neutral statements I know. Hey, it is well, You don't exactly know what they're talking about. When I was younger, we say it is not just well, it is river. Very angry at that word. No fear. So he said, he turned, said, I'm going to speak to you too. Because you have a name. And I have the name of Jesus. Praise God. Sometimes that's all you have to do. The old brother said, you will not need those drugs again. Doesn't need them. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Still there? Sure you're there. So, you did so much believing to be saved. You have just less believing to be healed. Praise God. Less believing to be healed. Still there? Now, healing, we said, is part and parcel of the good news. Do you notice every time Jesus sent people out to preach, he sent them out to also heal. Every time he sent people out to preach, he sent them also to heal the sick. How would you have a church meeting, a church, a whole ministry, you don't minister to the sick? Say, well, we just allow God to move sovereignly. How come he's not the one that sovereignly opened the door, church door? Sovereignly. He doesn't sovereignly preach. Just agree that you are living in unbelief. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So healing is happening in your body now. Right now. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. Hallelujah. Right now. Praise God. In Matthew's Gospel chapter 10 and Luke's Gospel chapter 9 and 10, when Jesus sent people out, he sent them out to preach. And as he went to preach, they healed the sick. Same thing, Mark's Gospel chapter 6. From verse 7 to verse 13. Healing is part and parcel of the good news. Is that okay? So, you see, don't forget, you took more faith, let's use that word figuratively, to believe for salvation, and less faith to believe for healing. What about that? Praise God.
So watch this now.
In the four Gospels, go to Matthew 8, sorry. You see how he healed the sick? You know, we said the individual cases explain the collective cases. That is the mass meetings. Many people don't know how to receive in a mass meeting. In a massive meeting. Now, I've had cases, I've never been healed in a congregational meeting before. Never. But I've had people who were healed in congregational meetings. Well, that's really an understatement. I've had thousands upon thousands who were healed. Now, I've had people minister to me, and I'm thinking, the power of God ministered to me in mass meetings. In mass meetings. And many of us don't know how to go about it. If you're in a mass meeting, and the people, you know, a lot of people in there. I was in one camp meeting, and I can give you story upon story. And I began to speak. I said, I've been ministered to in the name of Jesus. And I said that, I think I said it for over 3 hours. I was speaking other tongues. Over 3 hours. I got to one junction like that. And one guy was selling palm wine. He must have looked at me like I was crazy. I said, I stopped. I said, I've come, Lord Jesus, with all I have, my past, my present, and my future. I have been ministered to in the name of Jesus. As I got on the campground, my bags were still with me. And then the preacher said, there's someone. And he mentioned where I came from. This was a meeting where at least 2,000 people were there, or more, 3,000. And I stepped forward. And I just said it. I was at another conference in 94. Ross Tatro is going to be Lord now. I said, I have a minister to. I said, he's going to lay hands on me. Because as he began to speak, I didn't know him. He began to speak about mission work, about getting Bible schools planted all over the world. I said, that's exactly what God told me. So I said, this man has a minister to. So his preacher said, young man, come. So when I got there, he's beginning to prophesy. He said, do you know what I'm talking about? I said, I have my walkman here. I'm recording everything you say. I was ready. You can actually get ready to be blessed. You can. Use your words. Now, notice in the four Gospels, let me go into that quickly. In Matthew 8, and the one we just read now, you know, Matthew 8 was a centurion, right? When Jesus said about him in verse 10, I've not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. In Luke 5 and verse 20, the Bible says Jesus saw their faith. He wasn't a magician that was just, you know, getting people, you know, healed without their permission. Say, leave me alone. I don't want to be healed. That ever happened in his ministry. What now? Leave me alone. Have you seen people that don't want to get healed? I've seen many. I've seen people, and this is not trying to bring them down, but I've seen people who want to remain crippled so that they can beg. I've seen that before. I've seen those who are insane and want to remain like that because they're being used to make money. Have you seen that before? I've seen that before. So Jesus didn't just get people healed and say, hey, what is it now? Leave me alone. Say, be healed. I'm healed. You know, he saw their faith. Praise God. You get the point? Just like people don't get saved. I'm born again. Why now? I have the Spirit of God. I know now. People believe. Praise God. And Jesus said, believing is as much, just as small as a mustard seed. It may be so irrelevant. But that is an action you may not, you know, just like the word paralambano, to receive, means an action on the part of the recipient. It may just be a desperate thing. You know, just something that, the guy just does something. But that's not faith now. But it is. It's just, This is a little bit where it is very awkward. I've seen, I was somewhere, and a friend of mine who were having, we ministered together that day, and he was eating. And someone stayed behind us, and as he finished eating, because it was a small dining table, but he was in the protocol, he took his bowl and went to serve food, put his own food on his bowl. I mean, he didn't finish the food, so, and I was wondering what he was doing. That felt, wash it now. He didn't wash it. He said he had believed God that he was going to have a contact with him, and when he did, that he was going to be healed. And that was what he did. He just ate all the food. I was feeling irritated. He just went, took food, and he ate it. You know, faith can be so, it's not, faith has no particular calculation. It has to be like this, like that. You know, the woman with the issue of blood, for example, what she did was not what everybody did. Sometimes we finish meetings and then some of my protocol team, they wonder, leaving, and the people are trying to hold you, and they feel, you probably don't know what they're trying to believe God for. You know, because you see me every day. Well, for you, you feel, well, is this not his shirt? Ah, that shirt. Now, I know we even gave him the shirt. But somewhere else, he doesn't know what you're talking about. He just wants to believe God. See, I told you the story last week or someone got my jacket. Was he here? Same jacket. Amen. Same jacket. Yeah. So faith can be that way. It's just I believe and I receive. So don't ever have a faith mechanic on your head. No. Now I don't use oil at all. But I went to preach in one church. At Penn Cinema, 2001, I think. And they said I was going to minister to everybody. And then they brought big jars of oil. That's what they believed for. And they never told me the oil was the Holy Spirit, so I was okay with it. So I used the oil. And I ministered to people. As I was ministering, I just saw one guy. I said, wow! He was my classmate at university. I said, please, just minister to me. I went there, Bobo! He said, please, just minister to me. We'll talk later. I said, okay. Be blessed! My God. Amen. And several of them received miracles. I preached in CAC churches. I used to preach for them all over Nigeria. And I'm preaching that they'll bring buckets of water. I'm embarrassed. Buckets of water. Kegs. White. Well, come see the miracles they get. Praise God. Because it's all about faith. Praise God. They just get the miracles. But there was one. I was to preach Sunday evening, then Monday night. When we're through on Sunday, they say, they say you have to preach every morning till Wednesday. I said, ha. And you know, they don't give you much money. You don't put it on there. Much money to, alright, give you money to go back. They just say, you stay. So in the morning they'll come and say, yesterday, and I'm wondering, that water, when I did this, this happened. I said, hey. I'm like, water? Yeah, what? When I sprinkled it, so person, this, and they have so much faith. Not in the water, in the power of God. Because if they had faith in the water, they would not have brought it to you. Are you following what I'm saying? But that's just their content point. So faith needs not to be any mechanic. Do you understand? Mechanism. Now, where false doctrine comes in is when the pastor says, that water is the spirit of life. Uh-huh. That is where problem is. That is demonic. That oil is the Holy Spirit mysteriously packaged in a bottle. That one is not, that's not just false doctrine. That's a comedian false doctrine. Do you get it? Hallelujah. Hope you're learning something from that. I mean, I used to teach about clots. And one guy, in fact, the brother, the boy who was healed in 95, he became a pastor. He's a pastor now. So, 95 is a while now. He's a pastor. He's graduated. I see him on Facebook. One day he came on my wall to be hiking as a UD small boy. It was viral. They brought to a meeting. Viral. They put viral on my Bible. And I laid hands on him. He had been up. He hadn't been eating for many days. And he put the viral, not pen, no, viral, blue that has, you know, put it on him, and then he got up. His uncle came for the conference, for the meeting. Do not miss me. Faith. Praise God. I don't know why I said all that, but I hope it blessed someone. Alright, because it wasn't in my notes. So, he saw their faith. So the same thing in the book of Acts, if you notice the book of Acts also had faith with the miracles of healing, Acts 3:16. Read this before. Acts 3:16. This was a beautiful great miracle. And his name through faith in his name had made this man strong, whom you see and you know, that the faith which is by him had given him his perfect soundness in the presence of you all. So he mentioned faith two times. How many times? And the name twice. So Peter said, in the name of Jesus, what are you saying? Faith through faith in his name. So there's faith in operation. Something, another thing you'll find out. Now don't forget, now I want you to say something quickly. Did you notice that in the book of Acts as well, you discover that the apostles will say something. Like, Acts 3, look on us! And the guy will look. So there was a corresponding action. Acts 3. If you look at Acts 9, in the case of Dorcas, Acts 9, say, Aeneas, pardon me, Acts 9:34. Aeneas was sick of the palsy 8 years, and Peter said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ makes you whole. Arise, make your bed, and he rose immediately. So he had to say something to him. Jesus Christ makes you whole. And the man acted upon what he was told. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ makes you whole. In Acts 14, or in Acts 8, you find in Samaria, they responded to the ministry of Philip. And the Bible says the whole, they had received the word of God in verse 14, Acts 8. But verse 6 and 7 says that there was a lot of miracles there. Why? Because there were some things that Philip said. And they acted on it. They believed it. In Acts 14, the Bible says Paul and Barnabas, they were in Lystra, and there they preached the gospel. What is the gospel? Then they saw a man who was crippled from birth. The Bible says, then perceiving he had faith to be healed. They have faith to be healed. So they always said something to the audience. In other words, God's word communicates, you see, well, to the ear so that he can have faith to believe for his healing. Why did Jesus spend so much time teaching so that people can believe? So that they can believe. He spent time preaching and teaching so that they can believe. James 5:14 now says, the prayer of faith will save the sick. The prayer of faith. Also, the prayer of faith. Say, the prayer of faith will save the sick. Now, let me show you something that is very vital. So we can see faith is always an element in the healing of the sick.
Jesus doesn't have to say that's faith, but there was something the recipient did. They acted on his word. They said something. They touched something. There was faith somewhere. I told you the story. My brother was sick. He was on the bed. And the archbishop in that house said, touch him. If I hadn't touched him, maybe he would never have gotten healed. But I don't think he would have gotten healed. I've had cases where people say, they just touched the television. You say, scripture and verse. But there was no television in the Bible. So you can have scripture and verse for that. But there's faith in the Bible. Hallelujah. Are you still there? You know? Lady like that, she had arthritis. And her body was vibrating 95. So, in those days, we have this meeting called Dunamis meeting. So we lay our hands on the chair. And then we say, there'll be miracles in this place as we lay hands on the chair. Three of us like that. Four of us. We laid hands on it. She came in, the meeting hadn't started. And then she sat there. And then all of a sudden, she was vibrating. She was healed. Right inside the meeting. Now, where do you have that in the Bible? I don't know. But we have healing and faith in the Bible. Hallelujah. Do you understand what I'm talking about? We have healing and faith in the Bible. So, don't judge anyone that is in faith. They don't have to follow your own pattern. Is that okay? Amen. And we're going to have a glorious time at camp meeting. Amen. And we're going to have one tonight, of course. We've had one already. We have more tonight. But I'm saying, when the Spirit is in the move, you just get in the flow. Some guys are just too cool for the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. They're just too cool. Somebody, but have you seen them? Well, I was just watching all of them. Have you seen them? I was watching all of them. And they're falling. I was watching. And they think that because nothing happened to them, nothing was happening. They are stupid. Because nothing is happening to nothing. That's not true. Peter's shadow healed the sick, right? Then Peter was taken by a jailer into the prison. Do you understand what I'm saying? The Pentecost. Was the Holy Ghost given the Pentecost? How come some guys had the nerve to say that? Are you guys drunk? What if the Spirit was really moving, why couldn't they feel it where they were? So are you spirit thermometer? You are not. This is some Holy Ghost. People are just some guys are just like this. They think they are the calm ones. You think they are the ones that they are mature Christians. Some dumb believer told me one time, others. People jumping and dancing. He said, well, that was when we were on campus. And no, I said, that was when you were in the faith. That was when you were a true Christian. Sir, are you dancing? I said, no. Those who rejoice in the Bible were there in you like. Yeah. You just cannot be ick. Simple. And the same person will go for somebody's body part and he'll be dancing skelewu. But you come to God, you'll be forming gentle. Right? When they give you appointment letter and promote you from manager to MD, and you're like this, they say, give us the letter back. Okay, give us the letter. imagine you give somebody $1 million draft and he says, say, please, you won't form there. You'll be forming in church. Say, your sins are forgiven. Say, praise. Statue of Liberty is more safe than you are. That's the way I was. Where was everybody got into this? Come on, help me out. Okay, so I said faith was there. Alright? So there was faith. And I said, hey, there's something people used to do. Now, let's look at Isaiah 38, Ezekiah's case. And you see something after the prophet actually told him he was going to die.
Then he turned his face, verse 2, to the wall, and he kept talking.
What did he kept talking?
So he kept talking. He didn't give up. He just kept talking. Some of our people in faith is that they raise their voice. They keep talking.
There's nothing called silent faith. Dad, brother, you said, my faith is inside me. Everybody's faith is inside them. How come Jesus never did like that? How come he didn't look at the fig tree? Jesus, what's going on?
Well, you'll see later.
How come when he healed the sick, he didn't look at the sick like this? Are you willing to heal them? Is of the heart. No, he spoke. Hezekiah kept speaking. Woman with the issue of blood, the Bible says, for she kept saying, if I but touch the hem of his clothes, I shall be healed. Never allow symptoms drown your voice. Did you hear what I'm saying? Never allow what? Symptoms drown your voice. When the symptoms go high, you raise your voice. Hallelujah. Praise God. You raise your voice. You raise your voice. You raise your voice. Glory to God. You raise your voice. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You raise your voice. You keep speaking. Hezekiah kept speaking. He got 15 more years. Who knows if he spoke more, he'll have gone 30 more years. You just keep speaking. The woman with jaw kept speaking. You know, she must have had a symptom. The symptoms never left her body, but she kept speaking. Many of us think that I keep speaking, if I just say one symptom will leave. What if it doesn't? Faith has no time limit. You keep speaking. She kept speaking, and she kept speaking till she was healed in her body. Notice something that happened to her, Mark 5, was that she heard of Jesus. So she heard. Mark 5. She heard of Jesus. She heard. When she heard of Jesus, verse 27, you must hear something. You must hear something. That's why sometimes it's just good to just keep hearing the same thing again and again. Again and again. When I had to battle sickness years back, I went to Brother Hagin's teaching, how to write your own ticket with God. And I listened and listened and listened and listened and listened. They got to a point, I now spoke into a tape. Myself. Let me hear what myself is saying to me. So, I spoke into a tape, and I was playing the tape to myself. So, yeah, that's me talking. That's me talking. That's what I believe for, and I receive. So, sometimes I just do, just go like this. I try to. I prayed. What are you saying in essence? I'm not saying anything particularly, but I'm just saying, I've tried. Sometimes we're like that because we think there's a solution in natural medicine, in, medical science. What if there's none? You will say, I've tried. Right? What if there's none? Doctor says, don't come again. You think by spending a lot of money, if you have a lot of money, go to the hospital, you think you'll be fine. Some billionaires have died of small sickness and disease. That get healed in healing meetings on secondary school campus. Is that not true? Say, come and give to church. They say, church is not becoming business. So they won't give to church. But they give to an hospital and they keep telling them, we don't have a solution. And they spend hundreds of millions. So don't have faith that when you have a lot of money, you'll be okay health-wise. Nah. That's a wrong mindset.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Follow what I'm saying? So sometimes you, what are you listening to? So, you know, there's something, the time you don't go to a relative and say, I just came to tell you what I've been passing through. I've not been able to urinate very well for the past 6 months. Just pray for me. I'll pray for you. Why are you talking? What is the counseling for? You get a hold of the word. I keep hearing it. Sometimes you don't follow my pattern, but that's how I did. I spoke into a tape. And I kept hearing myself. Praise God. Faith is never silent. There's nothing called silent faith. Do you hear what I'm saying? There's nothing called silent faith. It doesn't exist. Faith speaks. Does it faith? Speaks. Remember I said you must hear something. Hey, I showed you something last Wednesday. I said, Jesus told the woman, he had the woman tell all that happened to her for whose sake? Jairus. Jairus had to hear what happened to the woman. You know, he was going for sickness and disease. And then, the thing was going to get worse. He said, Jesus, hurry up. Jesus, hurry up. Jesus said, I'm trying. I can't get. Jesus, let's go. And Jesus is saying, Jairus, you know I can't do like this. And I have to pass through this. And then, Jesus, in the midst of, hurry up, Jesus says, hey, who touched me? Jairus says, yeah. Hey, who touched you, sir? Say, who touched me? That person said, Master, this guy is in the body. What is who touched? Touch you where? Is he an angel? What else? Is this spiritual talk? Say, who touched me? For he perceived a virtue and left his body. The woman came. She said, come. Tell me what happened. Lord, she's here. Let's go. And he made sure Jairus listened to her. Praise God. Whereas, he made sure Jairus did not listen to those who brought the news of his daughter's death. Don't play around evil reports. Just some folks, some 10 folks, who gave evil report in Numbers 12, they were enough to turn a whole nation to an unbelieving nation. One night, all night, and the thing about that was that there was no social media. If it was Facebook now, I said the thing went, it went viral. You know, you can say it went viral. So everybody saw it on their Blackberries. You do a Blackberry broadcast and say, we are not able to enter. Yes, you know, we're not able, I've seen, or the copyright body on Facebook. They just had all night gist. And I think the minimum population of that nation was about 2 million. That means 2 million people received an information that made all of them unbelievers overnight. And all night weeping. We're going to die here. Now, that means it's possible for the same 2 million to have been immersed in faith. Now, notice something. They did that all night. How long? What about you spending all night in faith? You say, I believe in God. You want to receive healing. And you get them, I just knock out. Prrr, you sleep. And you have a bad dream. You will now. What about staying up late? Praise God. And pacing up and down on the word. It's a fight. Praise God. It's a shield of faith. All night. Sufficient enough. For the whole nation, number 13, to be filled with unbelief. I mean, like I said, it wasn't social media. It was just mouth to mouth. Did you hear? Hear what? They said this. They said. And some guys are very good at going from house to house, like Jehovah's Witness. They say, Say, hey. Say, let me leave you here.
I still have to see sister. That's how they do. You know, there's some folks, you hardly hear them say positive things in the church. Is evangelism. Notice that. He said, listen. So Jairus had to listen. The next verse, as they came to Jairus, said, don't trouble the master any longer. That means he was troubling him. Your daughter is dead. He said, fear not. There was, don't follow them. Only believe. So, as they, you know, they had not gotten home, as they were going, you didn't expect that to say, hey, hey. You heard what she said she did. So Jairus would have been speaking. Right? Speaking. You heard what she did? Did you hear what she did? My Lord, I heard. You get it? He guys keep speaking. Glory to his name. Say glory to his name. So the fact that they told Jesus and he was going there didn't mean that demons just stopped or the sickness stopped. That just that telling Jesus is enough. Just has heard. That's all. That's all. She just has heard now. Jesus heard and then she died. That's it. Master said, but they told you now, you have to get there. And the girl still died. Maybe your anointing is reducing. You know, people think like that. How can they tell you that the girl still died? She didn't die though. Oh. Something, but the woman sure was healed. Ah. No, no, that one, no, but this one she died, child. This one, I don't know that this was my koro eyes. I saw. Hallelujah. You keep hearing till it becomes a past tense. You keep hearing it. You know, you keep hearing until someday you just say, ah, I'm healed. And you're not saying it from the point of, I'm believing God to be healed. You're actually convinced now that you're healed. Many times when we fight like that, we're not fighting against the sickness and disease. We're fighting against doubt and unbelief. Amen. Look at Romans 4. You learning something? And I say this often. It doesn't matter whose testimony is bad about healing. It's not your business. It's about the integrity of God's word. Not someone's testimony. Well, what about this great man of God? What about the great word of God? Hallelujah. Just stop talking about some man of God or some woman of God. Romans 14, 4, sorry. Look at what God said. I have made you a father of many nations. God spoke in the past tense. In Abraham, the Bible says, he now began to call the things that be not as though they were. In other words, you will begin to call, when you are in faith, you begin to speak about your healing in past tense. You'll be convinced. You begin to talk about it in past tense. So and so date, and doing the, I'm healed. In past tense. Until he did that, he never had Isaac. You begin to speak in the past tense. Past tense of the word. That's what Abraham did. As though they were. No, have you ever seen how that means? That means nothing in the natural will encourage you. Nothing. I mean nothing absolutely in the natural will encourage you. As though they were. At the point you think that you are fooling yourself. Someone said, want to see where people have faith the most is in church service. Everybody say, yes! But they step out, which is where they need to be in faith. Say, how far? Ross, they push arm. But in the church service, I'm blessed. Say, how are you? Say, We do, we just do. But you need to carry the atmosphere into your life. Praise God. I've caught some of you say things like, where in the world do you want me to get that kind of money? In the world? How would money come to you? Some guy, I just read about a guy who brought a ranch. The sad part is that he's a part owner of my club. We're looking to buy players, he wanted to buy a ranch. He bought around 500 million pounds. Oh, Jesus. He said, where in the world do I forget that money? And the person's talking about 100 bucks or 1,000 or 1K. Where in the world do you want me to get that kind of money? He said, that kind of money. That kind is just a note. That kind of money. You know, like you never printed it before. He just said, money comes to me in the name of Jesus. Say, I want you to know, my needs are met, my bills are paid. Praise God. Someone told me, they said, but Pastor, if I keep speaking like that, people will not help me, oh. Praise God. God supplies our needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. He gives us all things richly to enjoy. When you talk like, the money will come. Don't forget that. My needs are met, my bills are paid. In the name of Jesus. You know, it won't hurt you to say that. You know, nothing will happen to you if you say that. You won't fall down if you say that. Praise God. So, calling the things that be not as though they were. Healed in my body in the name of Jesus. Someone told me one time, he said, he had this heart condition. And it says something had overlapped one artery and all that, so she couldn't stand for long. So he came and we laid hands. I think that was Believers Convention, 2000 and... which one did they have in Yabate? 2014, right? Was that the one? Okay. So he said, you laid hands on me. He said, but I'm thinking, what do I do? Do I come out? I said, do you want to come out and lay on hands? I said, people laid hands on you twice is not unbelief, but do you believe you were healed there? I said, I believe. I said, I'll stay with that. So he said, what do I say? I said, well, let me just say this. You can just say, so and so there, Believers Convention, hands were laid on me, I received my healing. So I am healed. So he said that for a while. So once in a while, he would boss me on Facebook and was, oh, you don't know. So how's your healing? So I'm healed. I asked him, so, glory to God. Then I think he went for a checkup around March last year. And the whole thing was brand new. Praise God. But notice it didn't happen during the meeting. Amen. And what I've observed that people like that, with that kind of testimony, have much more capacity to receive healing in other times. Amen. That's just an observation. Okay, now, no, let's see this quickly. James 1, learning something? James 1, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all liberally and upbraids none shall be given. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. He that waves is like a wave of a sea, driven with the wind and tossed. And let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. He said, he wavers. He wavers. So that means unbelief. Is it possible? Someone asked me, is it possible for unbelief to stop the power of God from working when it has already started working? Yes, it can. You can start out in faith and wind up in unbelief. Just like you can start out in the spirit and end up in the flesh. Look at an example quickly. Matthew's Gospel 14. Remember Peter's case? Let's take it step by step. Matthew's Gospel 14, verse 26. I want you to observe this in a walk of faith. In 26, and when disciples saw Jesus, that is, saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, Matthew 14:26, and cried out for fear. So the first thing about it was they weren't sure with what, Peter inclusive, and so they spoke out of fear. Observe something, they spoke out of fear. Nobody would have known they were afraid until they spoke. They spoke out of fear. Now when they spoke out of fear, Jesus said to them in verse 27, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." So Jesus also spoke. Are you following this? They spoke, and Jesus did what? He spoke. Now, in 28, Peter answered that. Peter also did what? Come on, are you listening to this? Peter also did what? He spoke. He said, "Lord, if it be you, bid me to come on the water." So Peter also spoke. 29, and then he what? Said. Jesus also did what? He spoke. Do you notice that nothing happened without anybody saying something? Peter also spoke. Jesus spoke. And when Peter was come down off the ship, he walked on what? He walked on what? Are you 29? He walked on what? He walked on what, everybody? He walked on what? Come on, everybody. He walked on what? So, did Jesus say, "Come"? Did Peter act on it? Did Peter walk on the miraculous? He wasn't yet where Jesus was, but you see, he began to walk in miracles. Isn't that true? Now, notice this. Now, I want you to see this. This is very, very important. Do you notice that in verse 31, quickly run to verse 31, when Peter doubted, do you notice that Jesus did not walk to him? Jesus got to him immediately. Are you listening? That means it was also possible to have covered that distance shortly. Are you listening? Now, so go back to again 30. I hope you got that. Did you get what I just said now? I should go by it again. Okay. You weren't paying attention. Peter was walking to Jesus. That means Jesus was in the distance. But the minute he began to sink, Jesus moved immediately to him. That means it was also possible to move fast without walking. Did you get what I'm saying? Okay. So that means miracles can happen in two ways. Here he walked. Here Jesus went immediately. So go back to 31. Verse 30. And when he what? Huh? Now, what was Peter doing in verse 30? He was walking on the water that is on the miraculous. Then he saw what? He looked at the wind. He wasn't looking at Jesus. And he was what? Afraid. And beginning to sink. I want to ask a question. Have you seen anybody sink in water before? Beginning to sink, he did what? Huh? Again, he spoke. Right? Again, he spoke. So both doubt and faith and unbelief are in words. So he spoke. He said, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hands and caught him and said, "O thou little faith, why did you doubt?" How did Jesus know he doubted? They doubted. By what he said. Okay? So, Jesus got to him also. He got to him immediately. Now, notice that as he began to see the wind, he began to sink. He was afraid. Again, he spoke. That means that, let's take a lesson from that. That means, if things don't happen, we would never have known Jesus' capacity of faith if he had gotten Jesus immediately. Woo! Glory! Immediately. Oh! Like Jesus said, "Come!" They say, "Yes, Lord! I'm sorry." Pop! Say, man of faith. But because it was a walk, we saw his capacity to resist contrary evidences. Does that bless anybody? Should I go by it again? Alright. Now, assuming Peter got there, pump! Peter, come! As he stepped on the water, just a whoop, poof! I said, oh, go Peter, you don't love him. Oh my, the man of great faith! But there was a walk. And that walk now made him confront contradictory evidences. Or contradicting evidences. And which is why, where some of us, where we're chicken out. Here you go. Huh? You don't believe in God. You said you're healed. You go to the restroom and you see something strange. Say, ha! You know? And then all of a sudden, you begin to say, ha! Because you're in a walk of faith. Peter saw the wind. The wind was there before he got on the water. But somehow, he focused on it. The symptom was there before you believed God. But somehow you focused on it. You must learn to look away, not in denial, but in faith, the greater facts of God's word. I'll close it. In our walk of faith, we will have contradictory evidences staring us in the face. One time I told doctors that in 2 weeks I'll be back, you check me and I'll be fine. In 2 weeks, I still felt the symptoms strong. And I felt worse. Yeah, I said, no, it doesn't have to be 2 weeks. Most important thing is for me to stay alive. You know, there's a way you can put up the devil. He's so stupid. And I just kept on faith, in faith. Just kept speaking the word. Speaking the word. Amen. So that means if Peter sank, that means he went down gradually. Not true? Gradually. Because you don't sink in water. You should have gone boom, abu, 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 and it's gone. You know he's sinking. So gradually, they're drifting into unbelief. Say, ah. You know when you talk about healing and miracles and you begin to, in your mind, is it still for me? That maybe God doesn't do it like He used to do it before in your mind. You hear people say testimonies and you think, is it really true? You've allowed some things to creep into your heart. But it's not an end. Praise God. You can release yourself from fear by releasing words of faith. You don't handle doubt by thinking. Meditation doesn't handle doubts. It's words that handle doubts. You raise your voice. Like Abraham, being fully persuaded. What did he do? He gave glory to God. That means his rejoicing was a celebration of his expectation. You celebrate your expectation. Hallelujah. Celebrate your expectation. A woman came to Brother Higgins meeting and then hands were laid on her. On her. She was on a wheelchair. She went home just the same way. She just kept speaking and giving glory to God. So oftentimes, you know, she would go outside, they would roll her out, and she would spread the clothes on the clothing line to dry. So she was on that wheelchair, and then she got to the wheelchair, and then she was putting the clothes on. You know, she had been for days speaking God's word, giving glory to God. Thank you, Father, I'm healed. I'm no longer paralyzed. Imagine if you heard that from her. Even as a believer, you say, praise God. Yeah. Don't always trust believers, though. You just say, amen. Don't think that they're amen. They're just like, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Have it down faith. Have it to yourself and to your God. So she was pregnant. So giving glory to God. Thank you.
no longer paralyzed. She had been like that for days. She just looked back and found out she was no longer in the wheelchair. Yeah. She just stepped forward and there she's healed. Praise God. That means to keep the switch of faith turned on. Amen. Keeping the switch of faith turned on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just like Peter, if you see the wind, just say, glory to God. It's a victory ride. How about a victory ride? Glory to God. I'm going to get to Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm going to get to, if I could start this way, I'm going to end that way. Hallelujah. Whatever areas of our lives, let's learn to hold fast to our confession of faith without wavering. Be blessed tonight. Worship God and give Him praise. Thank you. Someone here tonight, you want to celebrate your expectation.